Welcome back to Between the Bar Lines. I'm your host, Dr. Maeve Berry. I'm very, very excited to introduce today's episode to you because it's all about choral music. This is a genre that is very near and dear to my heart, and this repertoire, coupled with Renaissance choral music, is some of my favorite to study and sing. When most of us think of the Romantic period, we imagine the piano works of Chopin or the big symphonies of Tchaikovsky that we'll learn of very soon. But alongside those grand orchestral pieces, the human voice in the form of a chorus became the most powerful vessel of romantic emotion and expression in addition to all these other outlets. We know by now from this season that the Romantic era was all about expression, whether that was personal, emotional, or even spiritual. Composers wanted to capture the human feeling and the beauty of nature and even the mysteries of death and eternity. And well, what do you know? Choral music was perfect for that. It was the blending of human voices that gave composers a bigger way than just like the German art song that we've learned about to reach beyond just one individual. The choir became a symbol of community and of humanity really just joined together in shared emotion. So large-scale works like oratorios, masses, and requiems became the vehicle for romantic ideals at the time. I want to begin a little bit out of order when we're talking about chronological choral works and composers. So with that being said, let's start talking about Johannes Brahms. We haven't spoken about him just yet this season. We'll have an episode dedicated solely to him a little bit later. But he was perhaps the Romantic era's most revered choral composer. His Ein Deutsches Requiem, or a German Requiem, is really unlike anything you've ever heard or even performed. If you've had the privilege of performing this, it's a feat. It's very difficult to sing, and it's, I think, some of the most sublime choral orchestral music that you will hear ever in your life. Rather than following the traditional Latin Requiem Mass for the Dead, he actually chose texts from the Lutheran Bible in German. His goal wasn't to pray for the souls of the departed, but to comfort the living. This was deeply human in that way. And so it was music for the people, not the church. The sound world is warm and intimate, like you would imagine Brahms' music being, but it's so monumental. We have fugues and humongous choral moments coupled with humongous orchestral moments, and it's really just a sea of emotion. Next, we can talk a little bit about Felix Mendelssohn. He was the composer who bridged classical balance and romantic expression along with others that we've spoken about. But he adored the music of Bach, and actually he helped revive it in the 19th century. So Bach kind of fell to the wayside and was passé, if you can believe. But his oratorios, Mendelssohn's that is, Elijah and St. Paul, follow a grand biblical storytelling tradition full of soloists, chorus, and orchestra, but with that romantic drama. So if we think back to Bach, we have his passions that are essentially doing the same. And we can also think of Handel and his oratorios, but these are a little bit different. We have, in Elijah, quite fiery choruses and storm scenes, really telling the drama of a story, and it's almost operatic in its energy. But we also have that coupled with Mendelssohn being inspired by Bach. The choral writing is clear and contrapuntal, but it has that romantic hint of emotional charge. So we have this perfect example of romantic reverence filtered through a classical discipline. Pretty cool. And then we can talk about people like Giuseppe Verdi. We're going to talk about him in a few episodes, not for his choral music, but for his operas. His choral music practically bursts from the opera tradition. he has a requiem as well, but he's really treating the chorus like an opera ensemble. It's full of drama and passion and also terror and grandeur. Two movements from this that you may or may not have heard maybe on television, or even if you've seen this live, are the Dies Irae and the Libera Me. For Verdi, the choral writing was theatrical. So this is why we're comparing it to his operas. And essentially, this was the romantic human condition expressed through the sacred form. Elsewhere in Europe, choral music carried national colors and spiritual fervor. Anton Bruckner, an Austrian deeply rooted in his Catholic faith, wrote many motets and masses that combine harmonic architecture with simplicity. His harmonies are stretching tonality to its limits, ultimately anticipating modernism while remaining devoutly, for lack of a better term, romantic. Antonin Dvorak, meanwhile, infused his choral works with Czech lyricism and folk-like warmth. Some of his pieces that are notable are his Stabat Mater and also his Requiem. Romantic nationalism also appears in smaller choral forms, part songs, men's choruses, and secular works celebrating nature, love, and the homeland. So we can actually think about Schumann's part songs or Tchaikovsky's sacred hymns. These works brought choral singing into the salons, into amateur choirs, and even communities across Europe. The Romantic choral tradition overall wasn't just about massed voices. It was about all of this drama and feeling sucked into one. From Brahms' Requiem to the power of Verdi's music, from the church motets to these humongous mass choruses, there was an age, and this was that age, where collective song became the true essence of the Romantic era, the mirror of the human soul. In our next episode, we are going to talk about orchestral and chamber music in the 19th century. So this includes symphonies, just a brief look at symphonies, really, string quartets, and other sonatas that we might have with piano and other instruments, of which I have way too much information. So I will try and keep a lot of that brief, as a lot of the sonatas that I am a huge fan of come from this era. Join me next time on Between the Bar Lines.